You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, this morning to the book of Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 28. If you would, and while you're turning there, it's good to see Brother Mudd come in. Amen. But not only him, but he brought his grandson with him, all right? Amen. Right? That's a good thing, all right?
Yes, sir.
It's a good thing. Good to have them with us. Good to have Ms. Noble back on the piano still. And
yes.
What a blessing it is. She does better with a broken leg than I do with two good legs. I guarantee you. You say, you don't need your leg to play the piano. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. All right. It's necessary. It sounds a whole lot different if you can't work the pedal there. All right. Hey, listen, would you do me a favor? Would you just pay attention on purpose?
Amen.
Just pay attention on purpose today. Forget about everything else. Not worry about, you know, any problem you may have or where you're going to eat lunch. You say, preacher, I don't have anything to eat for lunch and don't have the money to buy it. No problem. My brother will be glad to take you out. So you just get with him after service. He'll take you out to eat. He's well healed, and so he can do that. But hey, just forget all your problems for just a little bit. And let's focus, if you will, on the Word of God, all right? Focus on the Word of God. I want to begin reading in verse 14, all right? Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord. Boy, there's a good place to start, huh? Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. A sure foundation, he that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plumb line, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. Now, I want you to hold your place right here, but I want you to go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, all right? Ephesians chapter 2. Get after there, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, then the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to put your finger in right there because we're going to be there in a minute. But when we go there, I don't want you to close your Bible on Isaiah 28, all right? Because we're coming back to Isaiah chapter 28. Listen, God had called the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah was given a prophecy regarding the future of Ephraim. The heading of chapter 28 is the woe of Ephraim, all right? So what verse 1 says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Now, like multitudes of people since that day, they thought they were going to escape the judgment of God. They thought, well, hey, we've made a covenant, we've made an agreement, and it's going to allow us to escape the judgment of God. But you notice the Bible said that agreement was really with death. He said there, you think you've made a covenant with death, and with hell, we're at agreement. And he said, I want to tell you, he said, all of it is based on lies, and it's all based on falsehood. So God made it real plain that their covenant, their agreement was not going to stand. Hey, folks, anything that's based on lies and falsehood is going to fail. Guaranteed. It will in the day of the Old Testament prophet, and it will today too, all right? You've got something that's built on lies and built on falsehood, it will fail. It's going to not make it. But it's not so much that prophecy, but in the midst of that prophecy against Ephraim, God put in verse 16. God put verse 16 in, and he said, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Right in the middle of that prophecy, he puts in this verse, he gives us a truth that goes way beyond the coming doom for Ephraim. Way past that, it reaches all the way to our day. Reaches in not only to our day, but past our day into the future. And if there's ever any question, somebody say, okay, you're laying a Zion, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Well, just what is that stone? Well, that's why I had you go to Ephesians 2. Because Ephesians 2 forevermore settles the question as to the identity of that cornerstone, okay? Forevermore settles it. So in Ephesians 2, verse 19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly joined together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Hey, the Bible right there forevermore settles the question, just who is that cornerstone, all right? Now, I told you, I want you to hold your place in Isaiah, so go back to Isaiah, all right? We're going to look a little bit this morning at the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. I want you to notice what the Bible says about that chief cornerstone. The first thing the Bible tells us in verse 16 is, he said, "I lay in Zion for a foundation stone." That stone, that chief cornerstone, is a foundation stone. Hey, look, folks, the foundation is the most important part of the building. It's the part that's overlooked, part we don't see today. This building has a foundation. Very important part. Every building that's built, there's always, they dig down before they build up. And the reason they dig down is to put the foundation in. Hey, in Texas, it's important you have the right foundation. Many of you maybe have had to have foundation work on your house. Boy, it's not anything unusual to drive through here and see them digging around the house, and you know they're doing foundation work. You go in, you see some, boy, I mean, the cracks are big, and you know, if they don't do something about it pretty quick, they're going to not have a house. They're going to have a pile of a house because it's just coming apart. Why? The foundation's not right. Hey, if the foundation's not right, there's going to be all kinds of problems. God said to us, hey, I'm giving you a stone foundation, and that foundation is what you're to build on. Now, the Bible says that there's no other foundation that can be laid other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, the problem with people today is we're trying to build our lives on something other than Jesus Christ. We're trying to build homes today on something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. People are trying to build churches today, religious organizations, on something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, he is that foundation stone. A scriptural church has got to be built on him. If it's not built on him, it's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. You say, what's wrong with the Mormon church? It's not built on Jesus Christ. Now, they might say, yes, it is. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. It's not built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, not the Lord Jesus Christ of this book right here. Not built on him. I say, what's wrong with the Muslim faith? It's not built on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not built on him. Now listen, you can call that hate speech if you want to. Don't hate any of those people. Don't hate a one of them, all right? But if I come to you and say, look, it's good that you're going to pour that slab of concrete, but it might be better if you dug a foundation and did it first. I don't want to put a foundation in. It costs too much money. Well, okay. Okay. But you're going to have trouble. You may get away with it for a little while. Never forget, good Lance, 50 years ago at least, we were down in Fort Myers, Florida, and went to Fort Myers Beach. And at that time, man, I'm sure it's not like that now, but at that time you could drive down along a long ways and there was beach everywhere, nothing there, no development. But there was a place where a house was, and that house now stood, instead of like this, it was like this. And what had happened is the hurricane had come through and washed out the foundation. Hey, I want to tell you, right then the walls were still holding up pretty good. We went inside the house. And you walking at an angle everywhere you went, but everything was there, and there were no doors in the house and anything else. But, I mean, the walls were intact. The roof was intact. But I don't tell you, you wouldn't want to live there. You wouldn't want to live there. And no way in the world. You'd lay in the bed, it'd be the easiest thing in the world, roll out of bed, all right? I mean, if you could even keep your bed from sliding down to the wall, you know, the foundation was gone. Hey, you can't get the job done if you don't put in the right foundation. A wise man, the Bible said the wise man built his house upon the rock. That rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. A wise man today is going to build on the Lord Jesus Christ. What you're going to put into your life is going to be built upon Him, all right? Hey, it begins at salvation. It begins when you get born again. That's when you begin to lay the foundation in your life, all right? And He's the only one because He's the only Savior, all right? Boy, what a blessing it is. You need to put that sure, that foundation stone needs to be in your life. He needs to be there. The Bible says, that I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. But I want you to notice the second thing it says about that stone. It says a tried stone. A tried stone. Oh my, you talking about a stone that was tried, the Lord Jesus Christ was tried. When He was here on this earth at the very beginning of His ministry, the Bible tells us that He went and He fasted 40 days in the wilderness. And right then, that's when the devil showed up. At a time of physical weakness. At a time when they'd be vulnerable. The devil showed up. You said, why'd He show up? Well, to try Him, that's why. To tempt Him. And He tried Him. And He came along and tried to tempt the Lord to do some things. And every time, hey, by the way, every time He answered the devil with the spoken word. Hey, it was the living word that was being tried, but the answer was always the spoken word. The devil tried Him there in the wilderness, but you know what? He couldn't defeat Him. He couldn't defeat Him. Finally, the Lord said, you get away from Me. You just get on, go on about your business. Hey, He was a tried stone, but the trying did not end there. The trying did not end there. Boy, you read the New Testament. And you see the Lord over and over facing the Pharisees. You see Him facing the Sadducees. You see Him dealing with the scribes. They all came. They asked questions. They asked what they considered to be hard questions. They wanted to put Him to the test, you know. They brought that woman, you know, taken in adultery and said, now Moses' law says this. What do you say? They thought, we'll catch Him. They tried Him. They did every way they could. They tried to trick Him and cause Him to stumble. But you know what? It failed every time, all right? He was tried. But boy, He wasn't touched, okay? He wasn't touched. But then finally, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they got Him to Pilate. And the people were yelling, crucify Him. So Pilate tried Him. Now, Pilate tried Him, tested Him. Remember what Pilate said? I find no fault in Him. Oh yeah, He was tried. He was tried. He was tested. Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. Why? He's a tried stone. He's a tried stone. But can I take it a little further? Remember that woman at the well? That old Samaritan woman there in John chapter 4? The Lord, He said, I must needs go through Samaria because He knew that woman's going to be there. And He dealt with her. You know what? She tried him. She tried him. You know what she said? She went into town and said, come see a man. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Hey, she tried him. She found him to be true. She found him to be true. There was a fellow by the name of Zacchaeus, a little short fellow. A little short fellow. We know the story, how he went and climbed the tree because he couldn't see over the heads of the crowd, so he'd climb the tree so he could see Jesus. And the Lord came over to him and called him by name. Said, Zacchaeus, you come on down. I'm going to your house today. I believe Zacchaeus tried him. Zacchaeus tried him. What a change it produced in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the old tax collector. The old tax collector. After he had tried Jesus, he said, I tell you what, I'm going to give half of everything I've got to the poor. Why? Because he had tried the Lord and it changed Zacchaeus. Oh, what a change it brought in him. He tried him and it changed him. And not only that, he said, and I'll make all my wrongs right. Oh my, what a thing to say. Why? Well, he tried the Lord. He tried the Lord. I'll tell you, there's a woman that came to him one day with an issue of blood. The Bible said she is beyond hope and beyond help. Everybody else had failed her. She came and she said, I'm going to try the Lord. I'm going to try him. The Bible said only her desire just touched the hem of his garment. You know what? She tried him. She tried him and she found him able. She found him able to take care of her. Meet the need that she had, nobody else could. Hey, I want to tell you, the blind tried him. The blind tried him, and they were never disappointed. Never disappointed. Old Bartimaeus there beside the road. Hey, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He tried him. He found him. Oh, and there was no disappointment. He came away from that experience seeing. He tried him. Listen, let me say it. The lame, the maimed, and the trained have tried him. They were always happy they did. Always happy they did. Why? He was a tried stone. A tried stone. Can I just say this as a personal testimony? I've tried him over and over and over again. Over and over again. And he's always been faithful to lift me up. Always been faithful to lift me up, carry me over, and see me through whatever it was. Always faithful. Always. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying what the Bible said. He's a tried stone, a tried stone. But look again there in Isaiah 28, verse 16. Notice what it says, a precious cornerstone. Hey, that cornerstone was made to hold all the walls together. That's what it does. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ will do for you. You get in your life and you say, man, it seems like everything's falling apart. Well, you need to get on that cornerstone, all right? He can help hold everything together. You're struggling with, he'll help you hold it all together. Notice what the Bible says, a precious cornerstone. Now, don't lose your place here in Isaiah, but I want you to go way over in the New Testament, the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, would you? 1 Peter chapter 2, and look with me at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, notice, precious, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Notice there, verse 7, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Boy, that scripture said he's precious. He's precious. What do we talk about when we talk about something being precious? Oftentimes we talk about something that's precious because of its rarity. You hear people talk about precious stones. Precious stones. Hey, precious stones, stuff like diamonds, rubies. They're precious. One of the things makes them precious is they're rare. You don't find them everywhere. Okay? You don't find them. In the case of diamonds, there's a lot of diamonds that could be dumped on the world market, but the people in control of it won't allow it to happen. Because if you dump them on the market, there it'll decrease the value of them. So today they're considered so valuable, all right? They're precious. Hey, they're precious because they're rare. Could I just say this? When it comes to Jesus Christ, he is the rarest of the rare because he is the only begotten of the Father. There's only one, okay? There's only one. And you say, well, this is like him. No, there's none like him. There's none like him. There's just not. There's only one. He is the only one. That's why the Bible says there's no other foundation that any man can lay for your life. There's one foundation. You know, the right foundation is Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else will work. It's precious because of that. Hey, there's no other Savior. If you're going to leave this world and get to heaven, you'll not get to heaven any other way than through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. He said, that's why he told us, I am the door. The door. Hey, there's several ways to get into the auditorium. You can come through those doors. You can come through those doors. There's a door over here. Out, you go through there, there's a door coming in from outside. Hey, the truth of the matter is, if you're determined, you could come in through one of those windows, all right? You're really determined. But can I say this to you? When it comes to heaven, there's one way. One way. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Hey, there's no other hope. There's no other help. Why? He's precious. He is precious. Hey, we also talk about something being precious because of how much it's worth. What do grandparents say about grandchildren? They're so precious. Precious. Because that means they're worth a lot to you. To you. Hey, the worth is far beyond anything. You said, what would you take? Nothing. Nothing. I had two kids. If you'd offered me money, I wouldn't have taken it most of the days. There were a time or two here and there I might have bartered a little bit. No, I wouldn't have traded. There was no price. There was no price you could have given. Know why? They're precious. They're precious. Hey, could I say this to you? You talk about being worth a great deal. I want to tell you, the Lord is worth everything. Everything. And then Revelation chapter 4 and verse down in that Revelation chapter 4, it talks about the 24 elders around the throne that are saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Hey, why? Who are they talking about? They're talking about Jesus Christ. He's worthy. I'm going to tell you, he's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of all your giving. He's worthy of all your love. He is the precious cornerstone. Oh, yeah, he's precious. He is the foundation strong. He is a tried stone. He is a precious cornerstone. But if you look back there in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16 one more time, it says he is a sure foundation. A sure foundation. Sure. What do you mean? Solid. Solid. It cannot be shaken. Cannot be shaken. I mentioned to you that house there in Florida that was built on the island of Fort Myers Beach. And that house was built. I'm sure when they built it, they thought they did a good job. Hey, and they did a good job when you consider all the walls were intact. They were not cracked. It's just the whole thing was tilted, all right? But the foundation wasn't good enough. The foundation wasn't good enough. Hey, the Lord is a sure foundation. He cannot be shaken. He cannot be destroyed. He is the foundation, my friend, for eternity. You can build your life on him with great sureness, great certainty that it'll be there. It's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere, all right? I know that He's going to be there. He is that sure foundation. You never need to doubt. You never need to question it. Why? It's guaranteed by the eternal Word of God. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it's a God that cannot lie. Hey, we're talking about a sure foundation. Sure foundation. You know, people come to you and they say, listen, here's an investment, and it's a sure thing. Can I say this to you? There is no investment in this world that is a sure thing. There's no investment in this world that's a sure thing. Now, it would have been nice. It would have been nice when IBM first put out stock, if you'd have known what was going to happen. That would have been a good thing. If you could have got in there, I'd have been okay. But wait a minute. It still wasn't a sure thing. There are no sure bets, man. There are no sure investments. But I tell you, we've got a sure foundation. We can sing on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Why? Because I've got the chief cornerstone, that sure foundation in life. Hey, you talk about the confidence. You say, preacher, you talk about you know you're saved, you know you're going to heaven. How can you be so sure? Because of the foundation that's laid. Hey, if I was trusting anything or anybody than Jesus Christ, I'd be worried. I'd be worried. But I'm not worried. Why? Because He's a tried stone. He's a tried stone. Can't be shaken. Sure foundation. But I want you to notice the last thing, the last point in the message this morning. Back there in Isaiah 28, verse 16, we just finished up with a sure foundation. Would you look at the next three words? He that believeth. He that believeth. Oh, you stay with me, all right? That's the key. It is the foundation that's claimed by faith. That's it. It's claimed by faith. No other way. It is claimed by faith. We've got a sure foundation, but it's only sure if you've claimed it by faith, all right? The key is he that believeth. He that believeth. It's a foundation that's laid in faith. Boy, I can't even remember, almost 60 years ago, not quite 60 years ago, I guess 58 years ago, 58 years ago now, on a Sunday night, First Baptist Church of Tice, Florida, man, the invitation was sung. I don't remember what was preached. I'd been under conviction for several weeks. I didn't hear the sermon, but I felt the Holy Spirit dealing with me. And that night, boy, I stepped out from about the probably sixth or seventh row back, stepped out, came down the aisle. That night, I put my faith in the sure foundation, that chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was laid in faith. It was laid in faith. By faith, I came to Him. By faith, I called upon Him. If you're here this morning, you've been born again. It's by faith. You trusted Him by faith. You called upon Him by faith. It was through your faith you trusted Christ. By faith, you established, hey, that foundation, that cornerstone is claimed by faith. But can I say this to you? It's built upon by faith too. It's built upon by faith. You begin to build those things in your life. You're trusting God. Hey, listen, everything in the Bible is contrary to the world's view. Everything. The world tells you to do this, do this, do this, and the Bible almost tells you to do the exact opposite. The exact opposite. And it's amazing, boy, people get sucked into the world scheme and they wind up in a mess, they wind up miserable, they wind up, man, their lives destroyed and it's shipwrecked. But here's that old fogey believer over here that just had enough sense to trust the Bible and trust what God said, and they started by faith and put their foundation in their life, the Lord Jesus Christ, when they got saved by faith. And then they began to follow the Word of God and they began to build on that life. They begin to put the next stone in and the next stone in and build in their life. And God's built them alive by faith. And when the storms come, the world gets destroyed. But that wise man's house stood firm. Why? Well, it was started right, and it was built right, okay? It's built right. Can I say this to you? It's laid, that foundation is laid in faith. It's built upon by faith, and it's going to be finished by faith. It's going to be finished by faith. We like to sing around here. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything. Hey, I'm living by faith. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Why? Hey, man, I found out if you build it and if you start it and lay that foundation, and you build in faith on that life, that I tell you, when you begin to see the end in sight, you want to finish it by faith. You want to finish it by faith. You don't want to bail out, all right? You don't want to bail out. You want to finish. You want to finish what I started. You want to do it. Hey, got a question for you. Hey, do you have a chief cornerstone in your life? Is he there? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Hey, well, I've gone through some religious motions, you know. I've been baptized, joined the church. That's not what I'm talking about. I said, if you personally come to a point in your life where you realize you were a sinner, you were headed for hell, and by the way, it's what you deserve. But you called on the Lord and asked Him to save your soul. Have you done that? Have you done that? If you've not done that, you need to do it. You say, when? Right now would be a good time. Right now be a good time. Said, well, we haven't even got the invitation. That's all right. We'll start it if you start coming, all right? That's all right. We don't have to wait, man. We want you to get saved. We want you to get saved. Let me ask you this. You say, preacher, I've trusted Him as my Savior. Wait a minute. Have you tried Him? Have you really tried Him? I'm afraid there's a lot of people that came to a point in their life where they realized, you know, if I'm going to get to heaven, I'm going to have to trust Christ because there's no other way. And so you trusted Him as your Savior, but you're trying to live your life on your terms. You've really not tried Him. You've not tried doing what He said. You see, He says the way up is down. That's the way up. He said the way to get's to give. Have you tried Him? Have you tried Him? Hey, let me use this illustration. You may be getting tired of it. I hope you aren't. Most of you know I'm on a diet. Been going on like 11 weeks, something like that now. I could have said at the end of 1 week, I tried it. I didn't, you know, I'm done. I'm done. Didn't work. I'm going to tell you, you tried it 1 week, you didn't try it. You didn't try it. If you tried Jesus Christ 1 week, 1 month, even 1 year, you didn't try Him. I mean, really try Him. I mean, put your complete faith in Him. Step out by faith and say, Lord, I'm going to do what You say. I'm going to follow Your word. I'm going to do it all the way. Have you really tried Him? I guarantee you this. Nobody that's ever tried Him has ever been disappointed. The folks that are disappointed are the ones that never tried Him. Never tried Him. Is He the cornerstone in your life? You're living for Him. How about you this morning? Some adjustments need to be made. You need to quit trying what man says. Start trying what God says. Hey, boy, I don't know. I want to be where God is blessing. I just want to be where God's blessing. Plain and simple. If it were possible, and this is not possible, this is not possible. If there were two pipelines, and one was pouring out money as fast as it could spit it out, and the other one was pouring out the blessing of God, you hear me? I want to be where that one's pouring out the blessing of God. I want His blessing. Well, his blessing comes to those that try him. He's a tried stone. Precious, precious cornerstone. Is he precious to you? Is he? If he's not, you've not tried him. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. The word of God's been preached to the best of my ability. Done the best I could to preach you the word of God. Now listen, it's time for you to decide, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? We're going to sing, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain." Hey, you got to try him. You have to try him. He's a tried stone. Those that have tried him never been disappointed. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us this morning. Lord, as we come to the invitation time, now it's time for us to decide, are we going to do what we're going to do with what's been preached? Lord, we can talk about you being precious. We can talk about you being a sure foundation. We can talk about you being the foundation stone. But Lord, it's up to us to, by faith, to try you. Lord, would you help us to do it today? In Jesus' name I pray.